Since this is the first of what will hopefully be many such teachings, I want to share how this particular outreach of our ministry came about, as well as its purpose and its goal. Now, let me begin by saying I have no lofty hopes or dreams for this outreach, and as long as it reaches one person, as long as it teaches one person a truth previously unknown to them, then I will have counted this entire endeavor a success. Now, it wasn't long ago that one of my staff members sent me an email detailing the fact that most people are auditory learners. Now, what an auditory learner is, as I subsequently found out, is someone that learns by hearing something rather than by reading it. Now, although the blog is being read by thousands of people and the Hand of Help website is getting tons of hits, and there are those that are spiritually fed by both of these means of outreach, the staff member encouraged me and said that it would be worth looking into something akin to like a blog talk radio where rather than write out a message or a teaching, I would simply speak it. Now, I saw the benefits of such an endeavor, since oftentimes the Spirit of God flows more consistently when preaching a message or speaking a message than when writing it down. But there were still some obstacles to overcome. Since my schedule rarely permits me to be in one place at a certain time on a certain day, after praying about it, I decided that although I could not do a weekly broadcast in the classical sense, I could record whatever the Lord put on my heart and upload it to our website. Now, the content of these teachings will be exclusive to handofhelp.com, but as with all of the resources that we make available on this website, feel free to share them with friends and family and acquaintances. It is the mandate of every believer to preach the gospel to the nations. It wasn't for a select few, it wasn't for a percentage, but it was the mandate of all believers to preach the gospel to the nations, to preach a crucified Christ. And though there is much teaching out there, sadly and tragically, very little of it is biblically sound and Christ-centered. And so, by the grace of God, I will commit to uploading at least one audio message per week, varying in length from 15 minutes to 60 minutes, with some series thrown in for meatier topics, as the Lord leads. This is going to be very free. Whatever God puts on my heart, I will share. If the topic that I speak on requires longer time, then, well, the program's going to be longer than usual. Now, the purpose of this endeavor is simple enough: to prepare and to equip the body of Christ for the coming days, to preach the unadulterated Word of God, and to share that which God places on my heart with you in a more timely manner. I realize that sometimes it takes a while for me to write out a message. I also realize that sometimes it takes a while for us to upload new teachings. And so I think if I commit to this, and if I do it once a week and we're faithful in uploading it, there will be something new basically every time you log on to handofhelp.com. Now, the goal of this endeavor is likewise simple: to bring maturity and to bring growth to those hungry for the truth of God's word and provide biblical answers to often asked and often unanswered questions. Since I'm not one to dip his toes into a lake, but rather jump right in, today I want to discuss a topic that has been gaining steam as of late, that has been gaining popularity, that has attracted many adherents, and that is the topic of alternative spirituality. Spirituality is in nowadays. It's the best way I can put it. It's hip. Everyone from Oprah to the guy who thinks he's Jesus incarnate talk about being spiritual, about reaching our full spiritual potential, about attaining higher enlightenment, and dozens of other cliched and overused buzzwords that the masses swallow without chewing. Yes, spirituality has once again become popular, but it's not the right kind of spirituality. Now, I'm sure you've heard it at least once in your life, some acquaintance or someone having a conversation within earshot, where they invariably drop the tried and true line of the spiritually dazed and confused. Well, you know, I'm not a religious person, but I'm a deeply spiritual person. I mean, I don't believe in any one God. I think that God is really this stream of consciousness we all tap into. Maybe we are God ourselves, but yeah, I'm deeply spiritual nevertheless. I hear this more often than I'd like, and it upsets me every time. People walk around today unaware of the fact that they are merely confused. They walk around with Buddhist prayer beads around their necks, red Kabbalah threads around their wrists, yarmulkes on their heads, leafing through a Quran, all the while thinking themselves deeply spiritual folk who have, after millennia of wandering souls, finally found the true means by which to connect with the divine. When you ask such an individual if they believe in God, their automatic response is yes. When you press them on the matter and ask them if they believe in the one true God, well, then they begin to explain that there is a little God in all of us and we just need to plug into him or her, going on and on, but really making no sense other than trying to make the futile point that there are many paths that, well, we can even make up one of these paths ourselves, and all of them will eventually and invariably lead to the same destination. I don't know. Maybe I'm just getting old. But I don't have the patience for such foolishness anymore. I remember getting a flat tire once somewhere outside of Oklahoma. And since I didn't have a spare, I had to call a tow truck. Now, the tow truck operator came with his son, and as he looked at my situation, he decided he needed a lug wrench. He then turns to his son, and he asks him if he had the lug wrench handy, to which his son said, no, but I have a pair of pliers. Now, frustrated, the father looked at his son and said something that I still remember to this day. He looked at his boy and said, "Son, you're so full of dumb, it's spilling out of your mouth." Well, to be honest, that's how I feel about individuals who claim to have happened upon a new and exciting spirituality, an alternative to anything and everything henceforth experienced. Just as Solomon so eloquently wrote, there really is nothing new under the sun. And this new wave of alternative spirituality is not a new notion in and of itself, but rather a cresting of a wave that has been around for thousands upon thousands of years. There was an incident in the second book of Kings that describes in detail what we are seeing today. It was during a time when the king of Assyria brought people from Babylon and Cutha and Ava and Hamath and other city, and he then placed all these peoples from all these different regions in Samaria. At first, these people did not fear the Lord, but then the Lord sent some lions among them and even killed some of them, and it was then that the fear of the Lord was sparked in their hearts. But rather than serve him, they continued to make gods of their own. 2 Kings 17:33 says this: they feared the Lord, yet served their own gods, according to the rituals of the nations from among whom they were carried. So even though these people feared the Lord, even though they had seen his power, they still served their own gods. No, this new wave of alternative spirituality is not new. And those who practice it are not innovators in the realm of the spiritual. They're not unique and unprecedented. They're just mimicking what those unwilling to submit to the authority of God have always done. They fear him, yet they continue to serve their own gods. Anyone that comes and says they have a new take on spirituality, anyone that comes and says they have a new take on the divine, is merely fooling themselves. It's nothing new. It's just recycled and regurgitated since the days of old. Now, you might be wondering why I decided to speak on this topic today. What it has to do with the church, and the fact of the matter is that it has a lot to do with the church, because much of the church is now serving gods of its own making. Now, I know some of you are at this point revolted and thinking, how dare you, Brother Mike? How can you make such a claim? But let's look at the facts. Just for a second, let's look at the facts. Study the message of the top 10 televangelists on the airwaves today, and then you will see how I can make such a claim. Though they might fear God, they do not serve Him, but they serve their own God instead, which, in one word, is gain or profit. Yes, gain is the God of many a preacher, and they use the name of Christ, they use the name of Jesus, not because they care for His words or His way of life, His teaching or His redemptive power, but because they get to eat of the loaves and the fishes and have their bellies full. It's not about Jesus to many of these people. It's about the stuff they can accumulate by profiteering off the name of Jesus. Now, I'm still amazed that we continue to be amazed at the utter foolishness that comes out of the mouths of some of these men. Look, don't be amazed. They're just preaching their God. They're just serving their own God. They preach what they worship, and since they worship money, they preach money. Now, I remember something that I read once, something that I committed to memory because it was so good and so dead on. It goes something like this. I know of no surer way of a people's perishing than by being led by one who does not speak out straight and honestly denounce evil. If the minister halts between two opinions, do you wonder that the congregation is undecided? If the preacher trims and twists to please all parties, can you expect his people to be honest? If I wink at your inconsistencies, will you not soon be hardened in them? Like priest, like people. A cowardly preacher suits hardened sinners. Those who are afraid to rebuke sin or to probe the conscience will have much to answer for. May God save you. May God spare you from being led into the ditch by a blind guide. So what's the point of talking about this? Why talk about this when I could be talking about many other topics? Well, the point is simple. Even though many today will not endure sound doctrine, even though many today continue to serve their own gods as the one true God, our mandate has not changed. We are still to preach the word. We are still to cling to Jesus. We are still to cry aloud so that all would hear Jesus is the only way. Jesus is the only truth, and Jesus is the only life. See, the world will always continue to do what it has done. But the children of God must likewise continue to do what Christ commanded them to do. Will this make you unpopular? Well, most assuredly. But this Christian life of ours is not a popularity contest. It's not about who has the most friends on Facebook. It's not about who crosses 10,000 hits on their website. It's about who crosses that finish line. It's about who runs his race or her race faithfully. You see, we were forewarned of these things, and so we ought not be surprised. The Word of God forewarned us of the times that are coming, and those times, dear friends, are now here. 2 Timothy tells us this, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears. they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. So why is it that they will not endure sound doctrine? Is it because it will be non-existent? Is it because it will be hard to come by? No. Is it because, well, it'll be outdated or out of print? Well, no. The reason that so many no longer endure sound doctrine is because they have itching ears. They prioritize their desires over the will of God, over the word of God, and over the plan of God. And rather than conform and submit to his ways, rather than fall at the foot of the cross and obey Christ, they heap up for themselves teachers. They turn their ears away from the truth. And as such, they are turned aside to fables. The truth will still be spoken in times such as these, but people will turn their ears away from it. That is what the Bible tells us. It doesn't say that the truth will no longer exist. It doesn't say that the truth will no longer be abundant. It says that men will turn their ears away from it. Entertain us, preacher. Tell us how good we are, preacher. Tell us that we're going to get to heaven and we're going to be there and embrace Jesus, even loaded down with sin and vice and evil in our hearts. Tell us that God wants to prosper us and bless us and give us riches and this life and the next life, and we're just going to have stuff all the time. We pay your salary. We support your ministry. Make us feel good about ourselves, and don't you dare speak of the things that will convict us in any way. You see, this is the mindset that is predominant among believers nowadays, and it is to our shame, and furthermore, to our destruction. It is because I love the body of Christ that I speak the hard things. It is because I love the body of Christ that I speak the unpleasant things, the unpopular things. Because my one deep and perpetual desire is to see you in heaven one day. You might hate me now. You might think that I've just shot myself in the foot, but what choice do I have in the matter? I must be obedient to the word of God when it tells me to convince, to rebuke, to exhort with long-suffering and teaching. In short, to preach the gospel of the kingdom of Christ. A wise man once said, I would wish to live in such a way as I would wish to die. If I would not like to die as I am, then I ought not live as I am. If I am in a condition in which I dare not meet my God, may God in mercy fetch me out of the condition at once. Let me be right, and let there be no mistake about it. But do not let me try to be both right and wrong, washed and filthy, white and black, a child of God and a child of Satan. I hope that this is our desire. I hope that our desire is to be right with God. I hope that our desire is to be one with Him and not have one foot in the world and one foot in the church, hoping that things will work themselves out. Hoping that God will turn a blind eye, hoping that God won't notice. You see, these newly resurgent religious cocktails, these mixtures of the fear of the Lord with the gods of our own making, will do nothing except keep us from knowing the fullness of God's love and mercy. They will do nothing except keep us from knowing the extent of His grace and the magnitude of His sovereignty. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 5 and 6 say this, For there is one God, and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave Himself as ransom for all. That's it. It's that simple. It's that straightforward. It's that cut and dry. There is one God. There is one mediator. There is one path. And any man who tells you different is a liar, and the truth is not found in him. Until next time, love the truth, live the truth, speak the truth, and spread the truth. May God bless you.